This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by Ion Digital, providing secure, compliant ecosystems you can trust. That's Ion Digital. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing you a brand new company, and I'll tell you what, my team did a great job finding this company because I'm super excited to have this lady on my show. The name of the company is Super League Gaming. They trade on the NASDAQ under the ticker symbol SLGG. They might be one of the fastest growing companies, period, on the NASDAQ. Let me give you some metrics. 2019, they only did $1 million in revenue. In 2020, they went to 2 million. In 2021, they went to 11.6, and their run rate for 2022 is going to be around $20 million. That's a lot of dough. Here to answer some of our questions and bring us up to speed is the Chief Executive Officer, President, Chairman of the Board, Ann Hand. Ann, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You know, before we get started with the Q&A, give my listeners just a little bit of a backstory of who you guys are and how you make your money.
Yeah, the company's been around for about 7 years. What we've been focused on for those 7-8 years is really how can we think differently about how to reach young gamers, so that under 18 gamer, and what do we know about them or understand about them that others don't? Because our primary way that we make money is helping brands and advertisers connect to them. And one of the insights early on is that we realized that young gamers today play very different games, and I say that almost in quotes, than what we all know as traditional video games. Mm. So really a trend that started about 10 years ago is this notion of open world games or open platform games. So these are games like Minecraft and Roblox and soon to be Fortnite, where instead of the game maker delivering a forced game down to the player base, they open up the toolkits and they let anybody create a game. And what that really is speaking to, first and foremost, is the fact that these days, the younger audiences don't want to just be served up content. They want to be creators of it. And our insight was that predominantly, this is really a new social media channel for young audiences. Again, don't think of it in the scope of a traditional game with points and winners and losers. This is a place where kids go into these game worlds and they create together and they socialize almost more, again, like a social media experience on steroids, where they can connect and play and talk and create together. And so when we realized that that was really the future of how kids wanted to interact in these digital virtual experiences and worlds, we made a decision in 2019 to really double down on, again, what we call these open world games. Sometimes people refer to them as metaverse games.
Mm-hmm.
The key thing here is that, again, these games have been around for a decade. You don't need a VR headset. We're not talking about Facebook Meta. We're talking about the fact that there's a new trend in gaming, and it's much more about socialization, highly personalized, and creation-based. And so that is the place that we've really focused, and we've created a really powerful network. We have about 700 mini game worlds in our portfolio. If you imagine Super League's like a solar system, imagine all those planets. And those planets have tons of players in them that are doing all kinds of fun experiences. That, if you total that solar system up, we reach about 120 million unique players a month.
That's amazing.
Massive amount of audience. So then we can more than deliver the objectives a brand or advertiser has in reaching and having a really deep experience and engagement with that young, hard-to-reach audience.
Well, let's stay with the metaverse. It seems like it's been gaining post-pandemic momentum, but it's also met a head-on with a bear market that has left few digital-oriented companies unscathed. Where's the metaverse thriving, and what companies should we be looking at right now?
I'm so glad you asked that, because I do think you're right. We're dealing with so many market forces, and then on top of it, a lot of the drag from people not understanding what does this mean, and in their mind, again, they're thinking of real future Meta, you know, 5, 10, 20 year out, 20 years where you need that VR headset. But where it's going right now, and I enjoy having this conversation with investors, is the way that I think about it is think about just all of our screens in our life. They're all getting smarter, right? If anyone's ever looked at a 4K TV, you know, it makes you feel like you're in the game or at the concert. And we want our experiences with all our screens to feel more immersive, to feel more engaging and more intimate. And that is the trend that I'm most excited about that I see right now in front of us. And it just so happens that it was gaming platforms that out of the gate gave you tools to create that same experience through your computer screen or phone screen the way that maybe a 4K TV would work for you. But even more exciting than a 4K TV, you can interact and you can change what's on the screen in real time. That to me is really the trend I'm most excited about, which is really this next generation of the immersive web or internet. And I'm not talking about, you know, forget like crypto, NFTs, is it on the chain, is it off the chain? Just take that all away. At a minimum, you know, every website right now, for the most part, still looks like the website they had in the year 2000.
Right.
And why wouldn't you be able to go on a website and have a conversation with your favorite Barbie or try on different clothes on your digital avatar? You know, why? That's what we think that these gaming engines have started to create, is a toolkit that we've built additional tools on top of, where it starts with us bringing brands like Mattel and Barbie into the worlds we've built inside of Roblox or Minecraft. But then it allows us to take that engine and capability and then facilitate a different conversation with those companies to say, but what should, you know, Barbie.com or AmericanGirl.com evolve into? And again, that does not require a VR headset. We have technology today that will allow the internet to start to feel more personalized, customized, and sticky.
You know, doing research on your company, it seems like your company's strategy is to foster an audience growth, seems to be rooted in the deepening its metaverse game worlds and growing into a game media and analytics suite. Is it fair to say that those are the two key factors attracting investors right now?
Yeah, so that is absolutely the business we're in today, right? We have built that tech and capability. We have reached tremendous scale in that, and that is the primary revenue stream today. It is us delivering 6- and 7-figure programs for some of the biggest brands in the world to help them achieve their in-year marketing objectives. And so that is the business that an investor today says, okay, they've built scale, and now it's about how fast can they grow based on that engine that they've built. What is very important is just to reiterate a point I alluded to in the previous question, which is that engine that we've built and we're applying right now to some of these very exciting, wonderful games that have massive audience reach like Roblox and Minecraft is the same engine that we can now apply to other virtual worlds, you know, platforms like The Sandbox, Decentraland. But equally, it becomes an engine that can also drive the next generation of this more immersive web that is happening right now in front of our eyes. And so why I think that's an important message for investors is because there's more dollar signs. You know, by proving that what we do today applies inside just a couple game world platforms, and then seeing the portability and also the way that we can start to run persistent long-term programs for these brands, not just something for 4 weeks, but something that is an annual or multi-year enterprise solution for the future of their digital strategy, you know, those aren't going to be 6-7-figure deals. They're going to be 8-figure deals. And so I think that's what the investors latch onto is, man, we've already built a sizable business today. And if we just do what we are doing today and monetize it, well, there's no reason this can't be, you know, $100, $200 million revenue company is what we've built and how we're applying it. But the use cases of where it can go is huge. And one thing just to, I think, is an important note for your investors is also to say, you know, when we're building these pop-up experiences today off of our engine, they don't look like games because they're not. You know, we recreated Barbie's Dream House in October inside a mini game world. You could swim in the pool and try on different dresses in Barbie's closet, and you could DJ on the roof deck. We recreated the VMA red carpets in a virtual world for MTV, and Paramount is one of our investors. So we're talking, we ran a concert for Samsung with pop star Charlie XCX. It's just so important to reiterate that what we're doing off of our engine in these worlds is really just a virtual twin of anything you can do in the real world. If you can go to a soccer game in the real world, we can recreate a soccer game inside these virtual worlds. So this notion of virtual twinning anything in the physical world across all kinds of categories, fashion, entertainment, education, is really the power that we've built and can deliver for these great branded experiences.
And could that be in real time?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, right now we've been hired by a firm in Abu Dhabi to create the virtual twin of a very exciting man-made island called Yas Island. And the idea is that as we're creating these virtual twins of Yas Island that are reaching different audiences, young people who want to visit the island for all of its fun features like SeaWorld, but also their parents who would buy the ticket, those really become permanent marketing channels to draw people to the physical. So that digital to physical link is really important too, because to your point, it can be simultaneous, it can be evergreen, and it can be a way to drive the physical conversion.
That's amazing. You know, about a year ago, Meta Super Bowl, they ran an ad on their VR headset. They brought the metaverse basically into the mainstream. That being said, what is your company's definition and thought process of what it's going to take for the metaverse to really gain traction in the masses?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing, you know, I used to run all the brands, you know, globally for BP. And so I first start when I'm talking to often the C-suite and specifically CMOs of some of these wonderful big global brands that we work with. You know, I first start with some of the things I've said to you today, because they'll say, like, Ann, what is this metaverse thing? And what should be my... And I say, well, first, like, take a deep breath, because you don't need to be figuring out how to go build a virtual reality world, and unfortunately, where it could cost you a lot of money, and you're going to put it someplace on a platform where there's no audience. The first thing we need to do is break down these existing open world platforms that already exist where there's hundreds of millions of players already. And so there's no doubt that even when I'm talking like to the global heads of media at these companies, they all know, and they say this to me openly, they're like, you know, I used to advertise on Saturday mornings, cartoons, you know, and that's over. And then
right,
I had to
right.
Shift all my dollars to traditional digital media, right?
Right.
You know, the Googles, the Facebooks, all of that. But now that's underperforming.
Absolutely.
And I'm not reaching the kids because you know what they're doing? They're gaming. And so what we talk about is look, that's the next redirection of capital. When sometimes investors say, oh, you're digital advertising, I'm like, no. We're the antidote to the ways that traditional digital advertising is failing right now. When we delivered Barbie's Dreamhouse, we had 60 million unique visits in the month of October. I mean, that's just off the charts. Deep engagement inside that experience for Mattel. So what I first do is just educate them, A, this is where they already are. So we're going to hold your hand and take you on this journey. We're going to first help you understand in a temporal way what your brand can achieve in a 5-day or 30-day period, like what we did in the Mattel example. And then we're going to have a next conversation with you, which is, should Barbie's Dreamhouse live all year around as a billboard for all the new doll releases and, you know, the Barbie movie, show a trailer, like all the different things that we could maybe do in that new kind of different looking interactive digital billboard. And then we can have the bigger question about, now, what is your overall digital strategy as a company? Where do you see your web experiences going outside of these game platforms that already have the big audience? And so we kind of walk them through that journey And once they step into it and they see the engagement, they're able to kind of move through it. And then really to just underline that other point about the media mix shifting, it's already shifting, you know, because the audience is not being fulfilled. They're not reaching who they need to reach through traditional digital advertising. They need to go where the audience is. So there's a big gap between the audiences on these open world gaming platforms, this under 18 audience. The ad dollars haven't caught up yet because there's this learning curve. They need to understand it, and that's what we try to do, is educate them on that.
Let me ask you a real fast question, then we'll get to the closing here. ROI, analytics. Are you able to give them analytics on ROI?
Yeah, so we're able to, in our creator and analytics kind of toolkit, we have dashboards for both the people who make the mini game worlds, because they're an important partner to us. If they're going to let us deploy advertising into their game or bring brands into their game, we want to give them incentives to want to partner with us. And so they first get a set of specific dashboards that help them understand how to drive more engagement in their game, because that's how they primarily monetize. If they participate as well, if we put a pop-up experience in their game, then they also share in that economy, so we give them a new revenue stream. So a creator economy thread is a very important piece of our business strategy. That's the way we've been able to create that massive solar system I talked about at the start. And then for the advertiser as well, look, we've always been COPPA compliant. We're KidSafe certified. We are known as a trusted brand that stands for good, positive gaming that is, you know, has the underpinnings of STEM and is parent-friendly and safe. And so we're not giving either, you know, we don't have first-party data to give anything that is PII-related, but we certainly can show advertisers through those dashboards the meaningful engagement metrics that they're seeking. And look, when we win these programs, they come in with an ROI expectation. And then we just happen to have the scale to more than deliver against those target numbers that have been set for us.
And we got about 20 seconds left. Real quick, what is it that you want my listeners, your stockholders, to take away from today's interview?
I think the most important thing is really to, like, you know, hang in there with us. I know that the market forces have been rough on, and there's been no stock unpunished. I really think one of the most important things they could do is probably not see us as a gaming stock, because we really are an innovation engine that we're just applying right now to gaming platforms. And I think that if you did look at the stock and the kinds of top-line performance and the fact that we're on a path to profitability, I think that everyone would agree this is a growth stock at a reasonable price. And so hopefully those who are in or seeking to come in will kind of put more money to work, because they're excited about our future.
My guest today has been Ann Hand. She is the Chief Executive Officer, President, and Chairman of the Board of Super League Gaming. Yahoo Finance has got a price target on the company at $2 a share, currently trading at 66 cents. You can find them on the NASDAQ under the ticker symbol SLGG. Ann, thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope you become a regular. Come back every 40 or 50 days and give us an update.
Oh, I'd love it. Thank you so much.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.